It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, I do appreciate everybody getting up early to listen to our outdoor show here this Saturday morning on KETR. I will remind you this. If you're not up this early, I know a lot of you know this, but you can go online to KETR.org and just look under local programs, and you can listen to the archive of this show for years. I did a little research here a week or so ago and went back, I think, 5 years to shows that I had basically forgotten about doing way back there. But I think we have been doing this outdoor show for over 6 years now. Let's stay close to home for today's show, and let's go down to Lake Tawakoni and visit with guide David Hansen. Now, what's going on down there is a red-hot channel catfish bite. I'm talking about one fish after another. And let's talk to David and get some tips and maybe help you catch some catfish. David, thank you, buddy, for being with us.
Oh, it's always great to sit and visit about our passions in life.
Stuff we love to do. And I know there's people that they have a passion for golf, you know, which is okay. I've got buddies that think about golf like we think about the outdoors, David.
Yeah.
You know, they get just as whatever it takes to get you to punch your button. But for us, and I know a lot of people up early this morning listening, it's hunting and fishing. That's, to me, it's just an honor and a pleasure to get to spend time hunting and fishing. And gosh, in my career as an outdoor writer, I've got to meet a lot of nice people. You're most definitely one of them. And I tell people, they say, Luke, how in the world did you learn to do this, or how'd you learn about that? I say, I really don't know that much about this or that in the outdoors. I'm just an average sportsman, but through osmosis, if nothing else, I get to learn a lot of stuff by guys that are either expert cat fishermen, let's say, like yourself, expert turkey hunters, mm-hmm. you know, expert whatever, you know, in the mm-hmm. outdoors. I, as an old outdoor writer, I have had the privilege of getting to know a lot of folks that are experts at different things. Now, right now is a time down at Tawakoni and a lot of other lakes where baited holes baited with soured grain or range cubes, paying big dividends for you, isn't it?
Oh, it's literally, I mean, one fish after the other, like you were saying. I mean, it's nothing if you got four people in the boat to have four fish on at the same time, multiple times through the trip. The best part about the whole deal is the average size is running a pound and a half to about 4 pounds, and you can't get any better than that for eating.
You're exactly right. Let's talk, speaking of eating, when I think about catfish, and I guess it goes back to my raising, but I love to catch them. I love to feel that whack when they hit the line, but I also like to hear that sizzle when they get that skillet, David.
That deep grease jacuzzi.
yes, sir. That's exactly right. A channel catfish, one that's been eating good and is healthy and fat, there might be just a little yellow around the fringe of that fillet when you fillet him, right?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Where you don't see that so much on a blue. Maybe you don't see it at all. I can't remember. You might have a little fat, but it's there's oftentimes a pronounced little strip of yellow. All you have to do is trim that off. There are people that don't even trim it off and don't worry about it, but I trim it, and it's just, heck, you're only on a 3-pounder. You're not losing a quarter-inch little strip, are you?
That's exactly right. And to be honest, that in some lakes, that strip of fat will taste fishy.
Mm-hmm.
Some lakes, it gives the channel cat their distinct flavor. You know?
What you just said will trick some people up, but I know it to be a fact because we take channel catfish up to Colorado on our elk hunt every year. And folks, David said, these right here, I said, wait a minute, we got the little yellow spots, you know, just a faint strip of yellow. He said, I challenge you to tell me that gives it any flavor from this other fillet. And the truth is, in that situation, it didn't, David. We didn't trim them, you didn't trim them, and didn't need to. But I guess there are situations where you might you know, you might need to trim the yellow, right?
Exactly. And one of those instances being, you know, a lot of people will fish around fish cleaning stations,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's a place for good opportunities to catch fish that are coming in and feeding on those scraps. Those fish you will find when you clean them and eat them will be just fat as mud, and they will be strong, strong from eating all that old carcasses and stuff. And I've seen it happen right here at Anchor Inn. People catch them and I'll clean them for them, and ooh, they are so greasy. But now you get out in the main lake out there away from all that, and it's a total different fish.
That's the fish that he's making his living catching a shad or whatever, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. or maybe some good clean feed that's put mm-hmm. down on the bottom, you know. So that's what I love about dealing with folks like yourself, David. That's what I call the fine points. You do not learn that kind of thing reading a book. I mean, it's you have to see it and experience it, you know. And I dare say you'd never 99.9% of the fishing population probably have no clue that that's a fact. But I've noticed it too. I guess those fish are just, well, maybe you could liken it to a hog that just fed the wrong diet, too much of it or something like that. The pork's just not going to be as good, and it all equates back to fish. You're fishing under the new bridge there, which is a big shady spot. I think you said, David, water 20 to 30 foot deep, right?
Yes, sir. It's you can, you know, anywhere up down through there ranges from 15 to 30 feet, and a man can go in there and bait him a spot and catch fish anywhere along that and be in the shade. And, you know, it just takes a few days because there's not that much structure there to have those fish already there. So I just feed them real heavy for a week, and lo and behold, by the end of that week, you're getting your line jerked every time you put it in the water.
You bet. Now, someone coming out to Tewakinee or Fork or any other lake that's got a healthy population of channel catfish, going out there, say they're just it's the weekend person and they're going to be there maybe to fish Saturday and Sunday, you do recommend on that taking the time to sour some maize or hen scratch or something like that, put it out in the sun with some water in it and let it sour, what, 3 or 4 days, and then that probably concentrates the fish a little quicker.
It you know, for a person like you're saying, coming down for a few days, you do that in order to increase your chances of catching more fish. And in the same instance, you want to bait multiple, as many as three holes, not all over the lake, within 100 yards of each other in the timber. And you start your fishing your first hole you baited and make that circle throughout the day to those three spots, and you're going to catch fish.
Going to happen. And chances are the longer that particular spot is baited, the more it's going to keep concentrating fish. Catfish, they do, I know you've done a lot of reading on it, and I have too, a lot of sensory cells or whatever in there. Their skin is like a big nose. It's kind of
Exactly. They're a swimming nose.
No telling how far in warm water. I know they can sense food a lot better in warm water like we have now than they can in the winter, although they can still do it in the winter. No telling how far they could smell the current, you know, drift the wind blowing that scent off of a baited hole. No telling how many hundreds of yards they can trail that scent, David, you know?
Yeah, blue cat, for instance, I don't know this to be 100% fact, but I have been told that they have the same sense of smell as a great white shark. And that's like one part per million on a blood trace, and that's way more than an Olympic-sized swimming pool with one drop of blood in it.
And they can hone in on it. And you, yeah. I've seen this fishing with you in the winter for the trophy blues, you know. You'll be drift fishing with a windsocker out to keep you drift down, or just with the wind if it's light, just drifting along with the wind. And you know, it'd be kind of slack for a while, not too much action going on. And then, you know, you say, well, you know, you get maybe just a little tap where they just swim up there, but they will put the trail on that. You're leaving a scent trail in the water. When that catfish crosses that scent trail, I liken it to a pointer or a setter hitting a game bird scent. You know, the same thing.
Yes.
They pick up on that, and you can see it. I can just picture it, old catfish. Wait a minute, here's some food. And then put the trail on that bait that you're drifting, right?
Absolutely. And I've seen that in more than one case where we're out there doing that, drifting along, and I'll have scraps from the bait I'm using and throw them in the water. We'll go in, we catch fish, we go in, and I clean fish, and the scraps that I throwed in are in the fish that we caught spatties.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And did they find that after we drifted by and come to me? Or did they find it before, and we're staying there waiting for another piece?
I've seen that catfishing, you know, like with different baits and chums and stuff. You know, that you'd think you throw it out there in the lake, the chance would be one in a million of that of a particular fish you catching him. But signs of them doing that, so they must, even a channel cat must be an extremely aggressive fish. When you know, just imagine when you're catching, say 75, say three limits or something in a morning, a few hours fishing. Imagine the competition that's going on subsurface down there. Those rascals have got to be fighting for their spot at the trough, haven't they? You know?
Oh yeah. I mean, you just imagine them stacked in there like sticking your fingers together and making, you know, a double fist. And you know, you see it when you're sitting there, you get a bite and you set the hook. Well, you catch a fish, but if you got this fish in the belly, well, now was it the fish below him biting? And
yeah.
When you set the hook, did you catch the one above him in the belly?
Exactly. Yeah, a foul hook one just by setting the hook on. It's an interesting topic, and the more mm-hmm. you get into it and what really makes them bite, how to mm-hmm. best catch them, I mean, mm-hmm. it's a fascinating topic. It on the surface, you think, well, you put your hook in the water and you catch a fish, but really a whole lot more is going on, you know, behind the scenes on that when you're fishing. A good smelly bait, punch bait, I guess that's the common term, but a good stinky bait is what's working for you, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, we were raised, started out with Bill's old dip bait, and I've tried everything that's come out since, you know, I started fishing, and the old trusty, you can't beat that good old stinking punch bait.
Well, there again, the scent goes mm-hmm. out. I mean, you know, it's all about them smelling it and getting right on it. But use a number four or sometimes number six treble hook and a good bait they can smell, and keep it pretty close to bottom, I'm sure, David.
Yeah, this is, you know, 95% of the time they're going to be on the bottom.
Right.
If your electronics come in to tell you, you can look over at those electronics, and so there's a layer a couple feet, 2-3 feet above that bottom, reel up two rounds, see what happens. They may be suspended at this particular time.
You bet. Folks, our guest is guy David Hansen down at Tewakene. David's with us regularly, and he does a good job of keeping everybody tuned in on the catfish patterns. We are fortunate here in Northeast Texas to live right on top of some of the best catfishing in the state, and that's no joke. David, how do folks that might want to learn more about catching catfish, how do they contact you? The easiest way?
They can call me anytime at 903-268-7391.
Well, thank you very much for spending some time with us and visiting, and we'll get you back soon and talk some more catfishing. How about it?
Sounds good, my friend.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's show. Remember, you can listen to the archive of our shows at ketr.org. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smokin' Texas Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, Darton Archery, Snaplock Hunting Blinds, Pyramid Air, Sightmark, maker of the Photon XT, and Catfish Bubblegum.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.